Well, again, good morning. It's good to see all of you this morning. It's hard to see you right now, but I know you're out there. I tell you, between Denise and Tom, there's not much left for me to preach on when we're talking about seeds. They did a wonderful job talking about it in different ways. The sower, that's what we're talking about today. A sower went out to sow. I'd like to read to you from the Gospel of Matthew. We'll be looking at chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, and then 18 through 23. The Lord be with you. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And they told him many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell upon the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone who with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And then when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but cares of the world and lures of wealth that choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another case 60, and another 30. This is the word of God for the people of God. Well, needless to say, you've heard this parable before. You probably learned it as a child in school, in Sunday school, rather. And you talked about it in class and kind of got an idea of what each one of the different places, the different types of soil was about. And I'll tell you something else, too. It's the subject of many sermons. This is rich for a preacher. You can come at it from so many different angles. It has a lot to say. The passage is sometimes called the parable of the sower, and in other places you'll hear it called the parable of the soils. And it's a popular parable. It ranks right up there with the prodigal son and the good Samaritan, and you know those too, don't you? Jesus was not the only one that used parables. You remember the story of Nathan and David, don't you? When Nathan gave him the parable about the man that stole the lamb from the guy that only had one lamb. You know that parable. Parables were not something new with Jesus, but he was a master at using the parables. And in this particular parable today that I read for you, it starts off, a sower went out to sow. And if you were listening to the parable, you can see that he threw seeds everywhere, didn't he? He threw seeds in what we might consider unproductive places. I mean, on well-worn paths where the birds would eat them, rocky ground where the soil was not deep enough for the roots to grab, among the thorns where the seeds will choke out the growth, and they wouldn't be able to grow. Quite honestly with you, it seems like a foolish waste of seed, doesn't it? The logical place to throw seed, for heaven's sakes, is in good soil. I mean, that's what you're throwing it for, isn't it? So that it'll grow, so that it'll bear fruit. I mean, I'm a city boy. I haven't grown much of anything in my life. But I do know that if you want something to grow, you got to plant it in good soil. It's the same thing in the business world too, really, if you think about it. I mean, if you want to build a good business, you got to put it in a good location, don't you? You got to get it in a place where it'll grow some. Your business has to grow. In a place where the business will be seen by others. I mean, you don't want to build in a place where it's unpopulated and people never know where it is, and places the unknown areas. You want to place it in a place where people will see it and it will grow, people will come. Your business will flourish because you built it in a good place, good soil. But the sower in this parable is anything but a good businessman, is he? He flings seed everywhere. And some of the seed really might fall on good soil. But not much. Not much. You can read this parable over and over and over, and at some point you have to say, why? Why does he do that? Why doesn't he just find a good piece of soil and drop some seed in it and then go find another one? Why does he just throw it everywhere? I think Jesus is trying to tell us something about sowing seed. I think maybe Jesus is telling us in this gospel that the gospel is bigger than any good business principles that we might think of. The logical place is to throw the seed into the good soil. Maybe Jesus is trying to tell us that the gospel is bigger than just good soil. God's gospel is not limited to good soil. Maybe this sower throws seed anywhere because anywhere just happens to be the domain of God's care. And that domain, by the grace of God, is everywhere. God's domain is on the beaten path. God's domain is on the rocky soil. God's domain is in the thorn bushes. And yes, God's domain is in the good soil. God is everywhere. The seed is thrown anywhere because God indeed is everywhere. And that seed that is carelessly thrown is the Word of God. And the Word of God is the good news of God's love. And that good news needs to spread everywhere, like throwing seed to all people, no matter what the condition of the soil. No matter what the condition of the soil. In putting this sermon together, I use a group of books called Feasting on the Word. And in there, it kind of gives me some theological backgrounds, what they call pastoral news about this particular sermon that we're looking at today, this particular scripture, I mean. And then as I was reading through this thing, I came across a story by a man by the name of the Reverend Theodore Wardlaw. And he told this story in this particular book. Apparently, that Reverend Wardlaw was touring a juvenile court detention center along with some other people in this particular city. And he mentions that the center was a very depressing place. wire mesh gates and large padlocks. The slamming of doors and the loud clank of locks, he said, was eerie. So confining, so drab. He and along with the others were led floor by floor through this facility, and it was depressing. They were shown the holding cells where the inmates were processed. In the court area, the youth court. And towards the end of this tour, they were led down one bleak hall. And before they went into this particular area, the guides told them, he says, now we're going to ask you to do something for us. You don't need to get near the doors. If you would, just walk straight down the hall with us. So they walked into this area, and sure enough, it was a dim, bleak place. There were little slits in the metal doors about this wide, maybe two-thirds up the door, and all you could see were the eyes of those that were imprisoned. You couldn't see the body, just the eyes. And they were walking down that dimly lit hall. Not only could you see, you could feel those eyes staring at you. And as they walked along, it became apparent to him that they were the center of attention, this group walking down the hall. And as they were going along, the guide told them that most of these children there had lived a very rough life. Most of them didn't have parents. And some that did, their parents were probably incarcerated too somewhere. No family, no neighbors to look in on them, and obviously no church. Nobody in their lives. And the Reverend Wardlaw lingered behind the others as they moved on down the hall. And as he looked, he could see the eyes in this one particular cell staring right at him. He waited till they got down the hall a little ways, and he walked over to the cell. And sure enough, there were these eyes, and that's all he could see, looking straight at him. And he leans over, and he says, God loves you. There's no response. The eyes just stared at him. He looked around for a moment to see if anybody was watching, and he came closer to the door. And he says, God loves you. No response. The eyes didn't even blink. They just stared at him. So he took a deep breath, and he caught up with the rest of the people. And he closed out this story by saying, you know, I have often wondered what happened to my words. I sometimes wonder what happened. Did those words fall on the path of the beaten path? To be eaten up by birds? Did those words fall among thorns and were just simply choked out? He says, I'll never know. I'll never know. But you know, it makes you think for a moment, people, maybe this is not a parable about good soil. As important as it is, and we give God thanks for it. Maybe it's about being good sowers. Maybe that's what you and I are supposed to be, or the good sowers. You see, the sower not only throws seeds in places where it will grow, the Word of God. The sower throws seed in all soils. We're not selective. We throw it. We throw seeds as though they were all good soil. We throw it on the rocks. We throw it in the thorn bushes. We throw it on the well-worn paths, and by the grace of God, we might even throw it in a jail cell. Because in this parable, Christ has set forth an example for us what a good sower is. You and I are to throw the seed, the Word of God, everywhere. That is our job. In the places you don't want to throw it. In the places you would just rather not be around. The people. You're to throw the seed. We are to throw the seed even in on the worn paths where those who hear it don't understand it and really just don't care. But you're to throw it. We're to throw the seed even on the rocks where those who hear the word rejoice for a while, but when things get hard for them, they walk away from it. But you are to throw it. We're to throw the seed even between the thorn bushes where those who hear the word are more concerned for their worldly possessions than they are the kingdom of God. But Lord have mercy, we are to throw it. And yes, on the good soil too, where those who hear the word and understand it will indeed bear fruit. For Christ says, but as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit, yielding 100, 60, and 30 times what is sown. But what about the soil that doesn't bear fruit? What about that soil? Well, that soil is not for us to worry about. It's not. Because you see, God will attend to His harvest. You throw the seed, God will attend to the harvest. It is His soil and it is precious to Him. Don't you ever think that it is not. It's precious to Him. You just throw the seed. You throw it everywhere. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, teach us to be sowers of your word. May we, as your disciples, faithfully and continuously spread the seed of your love, forgiveness, and unlimited grace to all your creation and in all places. This we pray in the blessed name of the good sower, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for allowing me to share in this time of worship with you. It meant a lot to me. I love you all very much. God bless you. I do have one announcement we need to make. We failed to do so. I didn't. But somebody failed to make this announcement earlier, and we certainly want you to know this, that the flowers here in the connection are placed by Susan and Mike Grove in remembrance of Robert Noel and Harold and Rebecca Grove. They're absolutely beautiful, and we are delighted to see those. You go throw seed. You throw the seed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you throw it everywhere. And you do it with God's blessings, with His support, and with His love. You are good people. And it is your job to spread His word as His people. Now receive the benediction. God the Son and God the Holy Spirit bless, preserve, and keep you. Go in peace, and the God of peace goes with you. Amen.